Luke chapter 9. Close to where we've been starting. I think we've been in Luke 8, starting here. We're still on the series on the kingdom of God, but we're shifting a little bit. Last week we kind of finished up on the parables that we've been teaching on, and the ones that say the kingdom of God is like. And but there was something I knew when I started this series at the beginning. I knew there was something God really wanted me to share, and so we're going to get into this, and it'll take a couple weeks to get through it. And they say a couple, I don't know how many, but we're just going to start tackling it. And really getting to help understand how we operate in the kingdom of God, because that's what we're wanting to do. So Luke chapter 9, verse 1, says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together," so he called the 12, talking to the 12, "and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So we see here in Luke 9, he calls his 12 together, and he gives them the power and authority over most of the devils. All right, all. I started thinking about how many times in the Bible the word "all" is used. It's an amazing thought. Gave us power and authority over all the devils. And I know, I think I have it in here somewhere, my notes today. I don't know if I'll get to it. But there's a lot of Christians that want the power and authority over all the devils, but then they're only partially giving themselves to the things of God. And they can't figure out why some devils don't yield to what they say. I thought this is really intriguing that it keeps coming back to being all in. That if we want what God said we can have, then we've got to be all in on His turf, on His things, so that we can have all authority. And to cure diseases. Now I like that because, again, the two things that he says that we have authority over are any demonic activity, anything that demons do, and to cure diseases. We'll look at that more, but I think that's important that those two are listed together. But he said he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, what I want to start here, and I wanted to start with this. Again, we're going to start backwards. We're going to start with verse 2. Because he sent them to declare the kingdom of God. To talk to people, to preach, to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. We've gone over this. It's been several weeks ago. But that's why he sent them out there to do that. In other words, this is God's way of operating. Now, when I thought that, I thought, you know what? Like Peter said in 1 Thessalonians 5, we didn't come with you just with words. We didn't come to you just saying, hey, here's what the kingdom of God's about. The kingdom of God is about miracles. That's one of the things I'm being challenged by. Again, I'm not saying that I've never done it. I'm being challenged by reading a lot of Bill Johnson stuff. A lot of times when people they'll preach about the kingdom of God, but then they stop there. And because they stop there, they're not seeing anything. God didn't want them just preaching about it. He said, I'm also giving you the power and authority to heal diseases and sickness and to say, this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about taking the authority over the devil. Let me show you how it's done. And so they would see demonic activity removed. They would see healings manifest. And they go, remember what we preached? Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. They preached the kingdom of God, and then the kingdom of God showed up. Amen. Now, again, I'm not trying to stretch this thing to try to fit it into our series here. I'm simply saying that everything Jesus did, everything he told the disciples to do, was about the kingdom of God, how to operate in the kingdom of God. So when he tells us, in the kingdom of God, you have authority over demons and sicknesses and diseases, then, beloved, that is the way we are supposed to operate in the kingdom of God. We are to operate as those that have authority and power over the enemy. Mark Hankins has a quote that I've had written down and I've just been waiting to use. He said, the authority of the believer isn't just available, it's necessary. In other words, most pastors will preach that that the authority of the believer is available to every believer, and if you want to walk in that authority, you can. But we need to understand it a step further and say it's available to you because God understood it was a necessity for you. And we're going to look at different areas of this, different parts of this. But God understood that for you to live in the kingdom the way he wants you to live in the kingdom, you would need to take authority over the enemy. So it says there in verse 2 that this is about the kingdom of God. This is kingdom of God stuff. And then but verse 1 it says that he gave them power and authority. Now if you remember, Matthew tells us that Jesus spoke to them and said, all power is given to me. And again, that word power there is that authority, that the exousia, is given to me in heaven and earth. And so that same authority that was given to him is now given to us, is given to them. And so power and authority, the word power in Luke 9 is the word dunamis. And dunamis is more what you would call explosive power. Show power. The actual words are force, miraculous power, ability, might, strength. So when we're dealing with the dunamis power, we're dealing with, I'm going to say it like this, and I hope it makes sense. Power for show. In other words, it's someone who is willing to, let me explain it like this. Exousia is the authoritative power. It's a power that's been designated to you. It's the power of the police officer to stop a car. Not because he could stop a car, but because the badge that's on him says, you ain't going no further. Dunamis is the power that says, I'm stopping a car. I'm not afraid of no car. I'm going to stop a car. Now again, you say, he gave his power to stop cars. He gave his power over demons and diseases. We can stop them. In other words, the way I'm seeing this, though, is that we don't have to cower. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to see a disease coming our way. Oh, maybe like the coronavirus or something like that. We don't have to see that and hear all these reports and start going, oh, no, I better go hide in the corner. I better go, hey, you know what? Wash your hands. But that's a good idea anyway. That's wise anyway. If you weren't washing your hands before the coronavirus and I ate dinner with you, then I want to reassess my... But you don't cower in fear or go, no, no. You can stand up and know you can't touch me. I'm a force to be reckoned with. Now authority, exousia, someone messed me up sometimes. Exousia says, you will not come any further. You stay away from my dwelling place. You cannot come nigh my dwelling place. And it's got to listen to you. So those are the two things that he said he gave his disciples was power and authority. We don't have any reason, beloved, to be weak, puny, cowering in the corner, or scared. We can stand with loud voices and tell the diseases and the demons exactly where to go. Now, again, and I'm just going to point this out one more time, that we've been given authority over the authority and power over demons and disease or sickness. Demons, disease, and sickness. Now, let me just throw this out at you. There are two schools of thoughts by most people when it comes to demons. The first one is that that's not real. That's just Hollywood. It's Hollywood. It's tales that uneducated people back in the Bible believed, but they're just tales. They're not real. And that's the first one. That's a dangerous place to be. Because again, your first thing is it's not real and it's real. The second thing that we have is that we look at what Hollywood has produced demonic activity as, and we become very afraid of it. Man, I hope I don't come across that. I hope I don't come across that at all. That would be. Oh no, because the devil's got so much power. He's so strong. I was listening to something the other day, and Kenneth Hagin was praying for a person that was demon possessed, and he was looking at him, and the Lord gave him a kind of a vision into the spiritual at what demon this was, and he said it was like a small little monkey like character. And he said it was just this tiny little character that just would not let go. And finally, when he told him to let go, he fell off to the side and just sat there and shivered. And if we understood who it is, again, that's what Jesus says, trample on your feet. He's nothing for us to be afraid about. Now, he's nothing for us to take lightly. We'll get into that hopefully today. It's nothing that we just take lightly either. He's just Satan. Because if you give him the door, yeah, you're in trouble. So both of those are wrong. To ignore it or to pretend like it is not there, and then to quake in fear of him is wrong. But again, we've been given authority. Go to Luke 10. So in other words, wherever the enemy is operating, whatever he's doing, whether it be, whether it be something like where it says cast down vain imaginations, and whether it be just a picture he's trying to put in your head, whether it be a sickness that's on your body, and again, be like, well, no, I don't. No, it's sickness. It's a spirit of infirmity. And again, I don't think it's per chance that he tied in demons and sicknesses into the same thing, because if you get rid of the demonic that's behind the sickness, there's a spirit of cancer. I remember, now again, some people can think it's weird, but again, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you're not familiar with it. One person I knew of was there when another person from had cancer had died. And see, once a demon, once someone dies, the demon is without a home. And they said they walked out of that room and they felt different inside of them, and it wasn't too long before they had cancer. Now, again, I'm not saying that we all need to be, again, there's nothing to be afraid of. But there is demonic, there's a demonic attachment of a sickness. You get rid of the demon. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of teaching here, real quick here, because some people would start being in fear of that. Now, here's the thing, is that Ephesians 4, 27 says, give no place to the devil. So it is within your ability to say no, or to not give him a spare room. But what ends up happening, and these are a couple things that are very, very real, and I'm just going to use a couple of them, and we may get into it further down the road, but strife. When you are operating in strife and division and contention and all that kind of stuff, you are giving place for the enemy to come in and work. And I know people are like, what? No, see, I'm not saying you're demon-possessed. I'm simply saying there's an oppression of the enemy that's come on you that you gave him access to you. If he does not have access, he cannot come in. We're going to look at this here in a few minutes. So with unforgiveness is another access point that the enemy will use to come in and to set up house. If you're not giving him those places, again, I think this is what kind of goes into what God's been speaking to us about being all in. Because when you're all in and you're operating, you're like, okay, that doesn't belong here, and you're working on that. Again, I've seen people who've been sick and have, whether it be strife or whether it be unforgiveness or whatever, they've taken care of those things and the sickness is removed from them. Because the enemy has no longer has any. Give no place to the devil tells me that when an unforgiving thought enters your mind, you don't have to put up with it. Don't preach all my sermons for me. Are you in Luke 10? Let's keep going here because verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So now we got 82, right? And sent them two by two before his face to every city and place, that rhymed, himself should come. So he sent out 70, and again, the assumed here is that he sent them out the same way he sent out his disciples in chapter 9. Now again, you say assumed, well, let's jump down to verse 17 and we'll find out how they went and what they did. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. They were skipping, hopping, and jumping on their return, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to you. Did you catch that? It doesn't say even the demons are subject to you. It doesn't say even the demons are subject to God. The demons are subject to us. Now, I know some of you are sitting there going, you've got to read the rest of it, Pastor Thad. I'll read the rest of it, but you need to read that part. Don't read on. We need to get understanding that God has given us the authority. The works that He did, we'll do, and greater. He's given us the authority. He sent the 70 two by two. And they weren't even born again. They just followed him. And they said, woohoo! The demons are subject to me through your name. That word subject or subject simply means subordinate and that they must obey. I love that. They're coming. They went out there, and again, God said, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you power, and they went out there and said, okay, we've seen Jesus do it. We saw how Jesus did it. And so while they're out there and they would come up to somebody who had sickness or had disease or had some demons going on in them, and they would go, all right, here's how Jesus did it, and He's given us the same authority. So He looked at her, they looked at her, and they said, get out of there! Now. And they got out of there, and they just walked around, and they came back to Jesus a while later, and they're like, dude! If we spoke it, demons had to obey us. And they're just laughing about it. Now it says through His name. I'm not arguing that. Our authority doesn't come because we've been good enough. Our authority doesn't come because we've prayed enough. Our authority comes through His name. The name of Jesus. I understand that. But we have the privilege of speaking it, and we have the privilege of exercising it, and we have the privilege of operating in it, and the demons have to obey us. How many people are waiting for God to do something on their behalf? Lord, heal me. Lord, help me. Lord, do something. Lord, if you don't do something, I'm going to... The Apostle Paul said, I asked three times for God to take this thing from me. And he said, I've already given you the ability to do it, and that's sufficient. If all you're going to do is stand around and wait for me to take authority over it, I already took authority over it by what I did on the cross. You got to do it. Because the demons are subject to you through my name. Verse 18. And he said to them, I've always misread this. I always looked at this as Jesus giving them a warning. And as I was studying this, I thought, Jesus didn't give them a warning. He's letting them understand something. Because he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven and just drop to the earth. And again, I've always looked at it as going, don't get too eager, because he got prideful. When he got prideful, he got kicked out of heaven. So don't get too prideful on this thing. But they come back and go, Jesus, it was amazing. When we told demons to go, they had to obey us. When we told sickness to leave, it had to obey us. And Jesus goes, you need to have the right viewpoint of who Satan is. He ain't what he used to be. He fell like lightning from the heavens. He ain't got no authority. He ain't got no power. And he is far underneath your feet. He is not someone that we need to sit there and cower about. Knock on wood, Brother Than. You're going to say that, and then he's going to... I'm sitting here telling you the truth. He's a loser, he has no power, and he's not what he once was. He's defeated. And we have authority over him. And then he says in verse 19, behold, I give you power. And again, that's that exousia, the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Everything that rises up to hurt you will fail. I've given you authority. I've given you power. The devil has no say in you. He has no power over you. some of that. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions, which is the devil. The power of the enemy. And that word power of the enemy there is the word dunamis, which means his strength. And our authority stops his strength. What we've been given puts him in his place. And he has... Don't be intimidated by him. Amen. Beloved, again, this is kingdom living. This is kingdom living. We're not supposed to go around fearful of what the enemy is going to do. We're supposed to go around dictating what's going on. Do you think that after this situation that the 70 were afraid of the devil? Afraid of the demonic things going on? No. Because they knew he wasn't much, and he had to listen to them. Go to 1 Peter 5. Listen, we're not to be afraid of any of his works. We're not to be cowering in fear, scared. But you don't understand. He's the devil. He's defeated. He's already been defeated. But see, listen here. All right, let's say your house. You have windows in your house, but you keep those shut and closed, locked. You have doors in your house, you keep those shut and locked, deadbolted. Garage door, you keep it shut. Usually electronic, so it's not going to open. Let's say you go find yourself an electronic security system. So you got all your windows connected to those, that if that slides open there and you've got it alarmed. Let's say you went and bought yourself a pit bull. And you have them roaming around your house when you're gone. What's the likelihood you're going to get robbed? Even if they try, they're going to run because there's a resistance. But see, now let's say it's a nice spring day, and you've got the windows open, and you've just had them open, airing the house out, because Lord knows after some cold days you need some good airing out of the house, and you need to run to the store. And there's some people that pass by that see you run to the store, see there's no cars in your driveway, and there's a window open in your house. And they're up to no good anyway, and so they think, hey, there's a way in. See, you left a way in. And that's the only reason that the thief can come and steal, kill, and destroy, is when you leave a way in. Amen? And that's amen. All right. Other than that, we've been given the authority to resist. Go 1 Peter 5. Verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, the stealer, the killer, the destroyer, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Now again, we read this a lot, but this is the truth, is that he's not a roaring lion. He went to the Halloween store and picked himself up a little costume that had a little mane on it, and then he pasted some little whiskers on, and he's just a little piddly little garden snake with no venom. He's been defanged, and he's slithering around acting like a lion because he wants to be a lion. He's not a lion. He wants to be a lion. That's his greatest desire in life. I want to be a lion. I want to have a roar that people are afraid of. But instead, he's got to... He has to do that because he didn't have teeth. So it's just the gum, his gum in his tongues. Right? But he's like a roaring lion. And he'll come up to you and go, roar. Roar. It's funny how many people get deceived by that, though. Because he's not a lion. That tells me he cannot devour. He cannot. He can try to bring fear to you. He can't devour you unless you let him. But we got to grab a hold of that. This is kingdom principles. This is kingdom operating. Is that we keep allowing the enemy to come in and set up camp in our heads, in our hearts, in our lives. We keep allowing him to bring things in, and we're busy. God help me! And God says, "Hey, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around trying to find someone. He can't just devour anybody. Trying to find someone he can devour whom." Resist, verse 9, resist steadfast in the faith. The Young's literal translation says, stand up against him. That's kind of us standing in our dunamis. It's not his little tiny snake in that big lion costume comes up and goes, roar. And then we don't cower, stand up against him. You ain't passing this line. Resist the devil, whom resist steadfast in the face, knowing the same afflictions. He's trying this on everybody. He's trying on all your brothers and sisters. The question is, the point is, he's only going to stay and operate in those who let him. Go to James 4. I love this thing because we've been given power and authority, and here we're seeing time and time again, the enemy's trying to get you to let him in, but if you will resist, he has no choice in the world than to have to walk away. And not even walk away. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Again, the Young's literal simply says, stand up against the devil. And he will flee. He will run. He's not going to just meander away. Oh, nuts. Now, the second you, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with fire, filled with the Word, we're going to look at it, should time be there, filled with a fire, filled with passion, stand up and go, no. It doesn't even say he will argue with you. He will run away from you with his tail tucked between his legs and he'll have nothing to say about it. If you make a stand against the devil, he will run away. But what's the key to this? Submitting to God. Don't try to resist the devil without submitting to God. The seven sons of Sceva did that. I love that story. I was reading it the other day. And they tried to stand up against the man filled with the devils. And seven of them. And they go, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. You, we don't have a clue of. And the man jumped on him and beat him all up. The one that was doing the speaking was the man. The devils were speaking through him. And he jumped on him and started beating them all up and sent them off running. See, they didn't have a submission thing going on. They were trying to do something because they saw it in a movie. They saw it on, they heard someone preach on it. but they weren't submitted to God. Again, this goes back into that area of what we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. They weren't all in. They weren't yielded to Him. They weren't like, God, whatever you have for me to do, I'll do it. They were holding back, we, people, hold back areas of their lives and then can't figure out why. I told the sickness to stop and it just kept staying there and I don't understand why. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he'll run. He'll run. Why did he run? Because he's afraid. If we give God His rightful place over us, then we can take our rightful place over the enemy. Until we do that. See, we live in a cursed-filled world. I was going to start with this area, and I didn't. But we know we live in a world that's under the curse. And nobody in this room has to do anything in life, and you'll operate under that curse. It's a fact. You have to yield to the things of God in order to operate under the blessing. You have to enter into the kingdom of God. It says, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree. But we've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed. So we don't have to live under the curse. We can live as those in authority over the curse and live in the blessings. So when anything in the curse, Deuteronomy 28, 15 and on, tries to come on you, sickness, confusion, frustration, anxiety, stress, any of those things, they try to come on you, you stand up. Because I'm yielded to God. How am I yielded to God? Attend to the words. Attend to the words I'm going to tell you. Listen to the words. Listen with the intent. Hasten. Hasten to listen to these words. At Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. If you will do what I tell you to do and you'll obey my commands, then you will have submitted to me. All right, I'm going to use an illustration that nobody here likes. But God speaks to you to sow a seed. All right? Let's say $100. I think if not 100%, at least 75% of us in here, that would be an amount that God could tell us to give. Let's say He tells you to give $100. And you're like, well, I've got this. That $100 I've been putting back for this, whatever your argument is, okay? And so you kind of say, not today. I'm not saying no long term, God, but you know what? I could use that $100 down the road. Next week I was thinking I might need it. I'm not going to do it. So you have, in essence, not submitted yourself, therefore, to God. All right? Now, let's say, I'm just using this as an example, a month down the road, you get an unexpected bill for $400. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, this from the pit of hell. This from the devil. Devil, you cannot do this to me. I'm a child of God. This is crossing that line right here. You cannot steal, kill, and destroy from me because I'm a child of God. You will run from me. The devil's going, I got you. You're not submitted to God. You maybe have done some things and some obedience, but you're not submitted to Him. I told you nobody would like that illustration. Don't fool. Don't, you, he laughs at you. Now, I'm not saying you're forever sat in that place, but until you get in that place where you're submitted to Him and yielded to Him, then, beloved, you will not operate the same in the authority. as you think you will. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to James 2. I just want to keep this going for a little. I've got to be about done here, but I do want us to get this picture here. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to get anybody to go, oh, Lord, I said no to him, or I ignored it or whatever. And I don't want that to be, I don't want you to sit around and go, oh, I don't have it. No, just start submitting to him. Because again, you cannot resist him and have him flee if you don't obey the first part. Submit unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee. You got to do the first. James chapter 2, I think this is going to have to be where we start. Goodness. 19, James 2, 19. Did I say that right? I feel like I may have, but I may not have. He says, thou believest that there is one God? Good job. Thumbs up. Okay. The devils also believe, and they tremble. I think it's funny, because again, what is he saying? He said, the devils really believe in God. Because their belief makes them do something. Yeah, wow. You'll identify how much you believe in God by how much you're doing. They believe and they're freaked out. They tremble. That picture that God showed of to Kenneth Hagin of that little demon laying on the ground. That's when you use the name of Jesus. That's what they do. They cannot stand against you. They don't even have an argument. They don't even say, but they cower because they tremble. In context, is this not what it's dealing with in context? In context, it says, you say you believe God. I'll show you I believe in God by what I do. The demons believe in God and they tremble. You believe in God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to operate? Are you going to submit to Him? Are you going to yield to Him? Are you going to operate in unison with what He has? It takes more than just believing there's a God. It takes submitting. Now again, I'm going to wrap it up there. Jesse, if you want to come to the piano. Because this paints the picture so much of what God's been speaking to us about going all in. Submitting. Beloved, you know how submitted you are to the things of God by how yielded you are, how all in you are. What are things that God would tell you to do that you wouldn't do? He wants to He said, this is the kingdom of God, is that demons have authority over you. But they have no authority where you've not submitted. That statement, that if we give God His rightful place, then we're ready to take our rightful place. We've got to take the authority that God wants us to take. And again, we want to walk up. I was reading a guy, and he said a book, and I remember who the author is. But he said people ask me all the time, what can I do to get what you have? He said, I see people healed in my ministry. I see demons come out of people. He said, I see the miraculous. And people are like, what can I do to get what you have? You got to do what I do. He said, you're busy. You're busy filling your life up and your head up with a lot of different extra stuff. And you know, you're watching the spooky, the horror flicks with demons coming out of it, and you throwing people and killing people and all that kind of stuff, and you want to know why you don't have any authority over the devil. It's because you're afraid of him. He said, I live a very protected life when it comes to what I allow in my eyes, my ears, because I'm submitted to God. And because I'm submitted to God, the demonic activity that's causing sickness, that's causing confusion, that's causing hurt, has no choice but to flee. So this morning, all of this is essential. I really do believe that. I mean, we need to understand it all. But this morning, I think fresh and anew, I'm not saying anybody here this week is totally lost out with God by any stretch of the imagination. But I think afresh and anew, we need to present our lives. I'll say it like this. What Romans said is living sacrifices. Problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. We need to refresh ourselves daily and say, Father, today, whatever you have need for me to do, let me hear your voice. And when I hear your voice, I will obey you. I will stay submitted to you. I will live my life in a way that I say no to the devil and I say yes to you. It's intriguing to me when Jesus was tempted. This is the next place we're going. We're not going. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he didn't cower. He stood strong and he gave him the word. We need to be loaded with the word, loaded with the anointing, loaded with the power. And the devil be stopped. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. What are you playing? I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my day I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it again. Oh, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will see of the goodness of God. Here we go. All my life. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. Sing it again. All my life you've been faithful. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I just look back at it, and when Satan said, "Come and kneel down, and I'll give you all this stuff. Worship me, and I'll give you all this stuff." Jesus, and there's more to it, we'll talk about this. His answer was, get thee behind me, Satan. Get your position. And then he used the word. That was the get thee behind me, and then he put the word to work. And again, when you know your authority, you know your position. You're over the devil, the devil's under your feet, get thee behind me. And when you know the word is not your word, it's his words, and that's what gives you the authority. So when sickness comes on your body, what do we say? Get thee behind me, Satan. The word of God says, by his stripes I was healed. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. When confusion comes in and you don't know what to do, what do you say? Get thee behind me, Satan. For I have the mind of Christ. And the enemy has no choice but to leave. And see, I'm getting to this point, and we'll talk about it next week again, I'm sure. But when Jesus calmed the sea, he rebuked the storm. He rebuked the storm. And then said, he said, There's some things the enemy's been trying to do in us, in you. And we're just going to have to get to that point where we recognize, again, it's not just enough to recognize that, like, you're the healed, that he's trying to get sick, that he's passing. If there's some doors we need to close, we need to get them closed. And those doors could be things like strife or unforgiveness, or it could just be disobedience. Where you are not truly submitting yourself to God, therefore, you're trying to resist without the submit, and it's not working. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand in our authority this week. We have authority over the devil and diseases, not over people. Just remember that. But the demons, we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, I'll get in more next week. But time says... I love you guys. I really do. Tonight, 6 o'clock, come expecting, and we'll just enjoy it all. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you guys. Go with God. Walk in his blessings. Prosper. Be in health. Even if your soul prospers. I love you. God bless. Go with God.